up, everybody? This is the Locked On Yankees podcast, your daily podcast covering the New York Yankees. We are brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. If you're a new listener, hello and welcome. I hope you enjoy the show, although it won't be too upbeat today. I'm your host, Stacey Gotsoulias, and you can follow me on Twitter at the Locked On Yankees account, or you can follow me on my personal account, StaceGots. You can also listen and subscribe to Locked On Yankees on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can also listen to the show on our website, LockedOnYankees.com. And finally, you can play Locked On Yankees on your smart speakers by saying play podcast Locked On Yankees. If you had a dollar for every time that I've said Locked On Yankees so far, you'd be able to buy yourself lunch. As always, you can email questions and or comments to lockedonnyy@gmail.com. In today's episode of Locked On Yankees, it'll be a eulogy for the 2018 team. It was a very disappointing end to the season and an end that could have and should have been avoided had it not been for some questionable decisions by manager Aaron Boone. If he had done things differently in Game 4, we'd be gearing up for Game 5 tonight. But I guess it was his inexperience that doomed the Yankees, but I'm sitting here still in shock over some of the moves that were made in Game 4, or moves that weren't made, actually. Like, why was Miguel Andujar, like, why was he sitting on the bench? Why was he not pinch hitting in the ninth inning when they needed one hit? I don't get it. I do not understand. I don't understand sticking with CeCe so long when you have a historic bullpen at your disposal. I'm at a loss. It's just so disappointing. They were so close to making a comeback, and it seemed like Aaron Boone did everything wrong. And doesn't it seem as if he got worse at managing as the year went on? You would expect him to get better, but he didn't. And maybe hiring someone with no coaching experience wasn't a very smart thing to do, because not only in the playoffs, but even in the regular season, there were some questionable decisions that he made that cost the Yankees games. And it wasn't just one or two games. There were more than a handful of games that he screwed up because he didn't make the right call, or, you know, put in a pitcher where you're like, why are you putting him into this game in this situation? Like, why would you pitch AJ Cole in a high leverage situation when you have people like Dellin Betances in the bullpen? Why would you pitch Lance Lynn with bases loaded, no outs, when you have Chad Green, you have Dellin Betances, you have David Robertson? Like, what the hell are you thinking? So yeah, this series should have been a 5-game series. And it wasn't. And I'm also, I was laughing, I saw Bob Nightingale tweet about the Red Sox being an underdog to the Astros, but acting like they're a big underdog. It's like, dude, they won 108 games. They won more games than the Astros. Stop treating them like a team that only won 88 games, squeaked into the playoffs, and are, you know, winning. Like, give me a break. They were the best team in baseball. And sure, right now, I would say they're underdogs to the Astros just because the Astros are finally at full strength and they're playing really well. But, you know, I guess either team can win the series. I'm rooting for an asteroid, personally. I don't want either team to win, because obviously I don't want the Red Sox to win because I don't like the Red Sox, but I don't want the Astros to win because I don't want them to have a chance to win back-to-back World Series, because I like that the Yankees are still the last ones to do it. But in 2018, I have not gotten anything I've wanted. So it's going to be one of those two teams that wins the World Series. It has to be. I don't think the National League has a chance, but, you know, could be wrong. It would be nice if the Brewers did it. Although I guess it would be nice for the Dodgers to do it with their gigantic payroll and the fact that they've won six straight NL East championships with nothing to show for it. So back to the Yankees and my bitter disappointment. It was almost like, I don't know. I won't say it was like watching another team because we've seen them play badly in the regular season, not to the tune of a 16-1 loss, but I don't know. It was very strange. It was a very strange feeling this series. I really think that Luis Severino screwed them big time. And a lot of people say that Boone's decision to bring in Lance Lynn is what ruined that game. And it did have a big part in it. But I really think that Severino not being able to last long into a game is a big problem. And you need your ace to come out and pitch at least six innings. Because your ace should be able to beat anyone out there. And the fact that he had, was it 45 pitches after two innings? I think that's what the number was. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. It was as if he's reverted back to being what he was. I don't know what it is with him. I don't know why he doesn't have the stamina to be able to pitch well all year, but this was a problem last season as well. I don't know. Maybe they have to go out and get someone like Michael Corbin in the offseason. I saw something from FanGraphs. Let me look at it again just to make sure that I'm correct. Something about, about the Yankees. Yes, they can sign Corbin, Clayton Kershaw, and Manny Machado, and they would still end up spending the same amount of money that they did in 2015-2016. So if any of those players are not afraid of the bright lights of New York, I don't think Machado is. I think Machado would like to be a Yankee. Kershaw, I don't see that happening. Plus, he's getting older. He's less dominant. He's still a really great pitcher, and he's still better than guys that the Yankees have. But I don't know. I'm on the fence about Kershaw. Corbin, snatch him up. I agree with that. Bring him to me. I would love for the Yankees to have the same kind of offseason that they had in 08, where they got Burnett, Sabathia, Teixeira, Swisher. Like, that would be a lot of fun, because I love when baseball fans get pissy when the Yankees start getting big free agents. It's like, your teams could do that too if your owners didn't pocket so much money. The Yankees know how to spend their money, usually. I apologize for my voice. It's been like this all week. As I mentioned on Tuesday, I was at a family wedding on Sunday, and because the music was so loud and I was trying to talk to people, my voice kind of was like, yeah, no, I'm going to go away for a day. And the reason why my voice is like this, let me tell this quickly, is because of Game 4 of the 2001 World Series. Tino's home run to tie and Jeter's home run to win. I just yelled. I didn't even yell words. I just yelled sounds. And I lost my voice for 5 days. and not just losing it like where you're raspy, losing it to the point where I couldn't even speak for 2 days. It was incredible. But I'll tell you more about that on the anniversary of the game. So up next, I have no idea what I'm going to talk about. I'm just going to babble. I'm going to babble like Mike Francesa. But first, and we're back. And I don't know what to talk about. I'm just going to admit that right now. I usually write things out. I'll write a script or an outline for my podcasts just so I'm not sitting here going, So you've noticed that the past few recordings have been me umming and ah-ing because I can't think of things to say. Verizon's calling me because my bill is late. Thank you for calling me. I know it's late. Stop bothering me. I have to say, I didn't look at any articles yesterday. I usually do that after the Yankees lose in the playoffs. I just don't want to even be bothered because I'm angry enough. So I don't want to be more angrier. I don't want to be angrier than I already am. I know I should read the articles, but I watched the games. I saw what happened. I don't need to rehash the misery. It's just, I don't know. It seems unfathomable. Fathomable. What's the word? God, my mouth is not working. It just seems, I just can't believe that they lost at home the way that they did. And I'm sick of the Red Sox, actually. I'd like them to go back to being sucky like they were when I was growing up. They weren't sucky. I mean, they'd make the playoffs every once in a while, but they'd always lose in the playoffs, and that was always fun. Like last year. Last year was great because the Yankees weren't expected to go to Game 7 in the ALCS. They weren't expected to win against Cleveland, who beat them in the regular season and made them look bad. And made them look bad in Game 2 of that series. I mean, did you really think the Yankees were going to come back and win 3 straight after that debacle? If you say yes, you're a liar. You're a lying liar who lies. And then against Houston, down 0-2 again, and then winning 3 at Yankee Stadium. I say this all the time. If that series were reversed and it was 4 games at Yankee Stadium, the Yankees would have been in the World Series because the Astros were totally intimidated by the Yankee Stadium crowd. And it was that way for the first time since they left the old stadium. The old stadium was much more intimidating because the upper deck hung over the lower deck. So it was like you were right on top of the field. So all of the rowdy, crazy people in the upper deck, you could hear them in the new stadium with the decks being pulled back and stacked more evenly, I guess. You know, the upper deck doesn't protrude over the lower seats. So in order for it to get loud, the people in the stadium really need to be loud. I do miss the old stadium in that respect. I miss my old seats. I had great seats. I was in the 5th row of the upper deck, right above first base. And it was as if you were on the field. The only place I couldn't see was the right field corner, which was not a problem. And that view of home runs, you know, it was easier for me to tell that someone was hitting a home run. Then when the new stadium opened, they put me all the way out in the outfield. I was in section 305, which is the last section in right field in the lower part of the upper deck. And it took me at least 5 or 6 games to figure out what was going to be a home run and what was going to be a fly ball caught by Nick Swisher, because I couldn't see below me. So I couldn't see Swisher at all. So I'd have to go by the crowd reaction to figure out what was a home run. And the other worst part about those seats, the fact that the sun was on them all day, and I am not exaggerating, maybe at like 11 in the morning, there was slight shade, but after that, the sun was on you all day. I remember going to a game in 2010, I think it was 4th of July. It was so hot. I lasted 2 innings in my seat, and then the rest of the game, I was wandering around the concourses, and I ended up in the 200s, just standing behind those seats because I'm a pale white girl and I try to stay out of the sun as much as possible because I burn. Even though I'm 75% Italian and Greek, I burn because I'm 25% Irish. My brother is the complete opposite of me. He tans. So at the end of the summer, we look like a yin yang because he's so much darker than I am. But even he had trouble sitting out there those days just because you're just boiling. It's similar to right field in Dodger Stadium. On the main level, right behind the right fielder, we sat there when we went to LA in 02, and I was roasted. I got one of the worst sunburns on my face in my life. Just continuous sun on you. And LA sun. I've had many instances of being too hot. I actually had an incident in my old seats in the old stadium. It was a really hot, humid day, and I started to white out. And my friends wanted to get the EMTs. I'm like, no, you're not having them carry me out of the stadium. I'm like, just get me water. I'll be all right. And then they started giving me water, and I was okay. Because I've seen people, you know, those. Well, I guess they're kind of like stretchers, but those orange stretchers that fold up into chairs, that's what they would have brought out for me. And no thanks. Wouldn't want the entire upper deck to be pointing at me like, oh, look at her. She can't take the heat. They don't need to know that about me. I know I should be talking about this year's Yankees. I just can't. I cannot. I'm so mad. Mad and disappointed. Usually I'm sad when the Yankees are knocked out of the playoffs, but this year I'm mad. I'm really mad. Like, okay, I'm more angry at how they were knocked out. You know what I mean? Like, if it was like a series where like, God, I sound like I'm in my 20s saying like every 5 seconds. If it were a series where they went back and forth and there was a decisive game 5 and the Red Sox won, not handily, but, you know, in a close game. If they lost it that way, I wouldn't be as mad. That would have been like, all right, whatever. But the way they lost, and because of how they lost, because of Aaron Boone's role in it, I'm angry as opposed to being sad. Like, last year was totally different. I was so excited that they made it to the ALCS. And they played those middle three games the way they did. And it was just Houston's year. Like, you could feel it was Houston's year. And, you know, there's no shame in losing the ALCS to the eventual World Series winner, especially when you weren't even expected to make the playoffs. So it was a different feeling this year. They should have made the playoffs. They should have won the division, honestly. between injuries and, again, oh, my voice. My voice is going. I don't understand why my voice is going. Anyway, sorry. Because of injuries and, I mean, not having Aaron Judge, that was a big blow. Because look at how much better they started playing once he returned. So not having him for a month and a half was a big deal. And, you know, it felt like Gary Sanchez wasn't around all year. I know he hit double-digit home runs, but he was atrocious. He was atrocious. And if he were at Gary Sanchez level of playing and Aaron Judge wasn't injured and Aaron Boone didn't make stupid decisions, the Yankees easily could have won the division. Think of all those losses against Baltimore that they had. So a lot of things went against them, which stinks. And everything went right for the Red Sox. Yeah, they lost Chris Sale for a little bit. And who else? There was one other person, but he wasn't really anyone major. You know, like think of the Red Sox losing Mookie Betts and JD Martinez for a long period of time. How would they do with that situation? So anyway, up next, we'll talk about the teams that are still in the playoffs. The NLCS will be fun. I think it's going to be fun. So we'll talk about that next. But first, so if I'm not mistaken, I picked the Brewers to make the playoffs at the beginning of the season. I also picked the Red Sox to win the World Series because I wanted to jinx them. So if they win and I'm right, I'll be annoyed. But I like the matchup of the Brewers against the Dodgers. I'm hoping it'll be a good series. I'm hoping it goes 6 or 7. You know, I hope the games are good. I hope they're close. And like I said earlier, I mean, it would be nice for the Dodgers to win because they've won so many NL West titles and have nothing to show for it. But the Brewers, it'd be nice to see them win too. Although not Josh Hader, because he's a racist jackass. But everyone else seems fine on that team. Right? Oh, all right. Ryan Braun. Whatever. But Christian Yelich. Let's talk about Christian Yelich. And let's talk about how well he did this season. How he took advantage of being out of Miami. He was probably like, woo! When he was traded. But yeah, that kid can play. He's a really good baseball player, and he's still young. He hasn't hit his prime yet, so you see big things happening for him. And on the Dodgers side, see, it's kind of interesting because, you know, they do have good hitters, but they have really good pitching, and the Brewers have a strong bullpen, or at least their bullpen has been strong lately, and they do have quite a few competent hitters as well. So it should be a fun series. It shouldn't be like how the division series were with a sweep. And were they both sweeps or was one a 3-1? I think one was a 3-1. The Brewers swept the poor Rockies. I felt bad for the Rockies. They fight their way into the playoffs and, you know, they lose 3 games. And, you know, that was a team that had pretty good hitters. You have Nolan Arenado and Trevor Story had another big year. But they just ran into the Brewers, who have been on a roll. Although, you know, I don't know how all of these off days are going to affect some of these teams. You know, you've seen it in the playoffs in the past when one team finishes a series in 4 games and the other series goes 7 games. And then, you know, the way the schedule is, the series doesn't start for another 2 days. And so the team that won first is sitting around for like a week. And, you know, you kind of lose it when you're off for that many days. You even see that in the regular season with one off day. A player could be on a really big roll, then all of a sudden the team's off for a day, or there's a travel day, or whatever the case may be. And then the player, it's like he loses it completely and forgets what he had done the previous like 8 or 9 games. So that's going to be something to see, because Houston swept the Indians. The Red Sox won in four, and they're not starting until, is the ALCS starting Saturday? I think it might be Saturday, which is, that's a pretty long layoff. I mean, if guys are banked up, that's good, because then they'll be able to rest and maybe start to feel better. But in other ways, being off for that long is not good. It's also boring. It's boring when baseball isn't played. Yeah, the Red Sox and the Astros won a combined 211 wins, and people are acting like the Red Sox are underdogs. I cannot deal with the ridiculousness of that notion. Oh, they're so gritty. Shut up. Give me a break. It does begin on Saturday night. Interesting. Wow. So the Red Sox and Astros, 211 wins, tie the 0-1 ALCS Mariners and Yankees for the second most wins in a single postseason series. And the postseason series with teams with the most wins, Yankees Padres in 98, thanks to the Yankees 114 regular season wins. So that series starts Saturday. Interesting. I'm assuming it will be Chris Sale against Justin Verlander. Now that's a matchup, huh? The ALCS will be another good matchup. I think it'll go at least five or six, maybe seven. I would like for it to go seven. I would like for every game to be extra innings. I would especially like for game seven to go 20 innings. I just want them to play the most baseball and get the most tired as possible. I think that would be fun. Don't you? If you agree with me, let me know on Twitter. So we've come to the end of this episode of Locked On Yankees, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I've been your host, Stacey Gatsoulias. I apologize for babbling. I will have a set script tomorrow. We'll be going into how specific players played in 2018. You can follow me on Twitter at my personal account, Stace Gotts, or at Locked On Yankees. And once again, you can email me questions or comments at lockedonnyy@gmail.com. You can also rate the podcast on Apple and on Google. You can subscribe at Apple, Google, Spotify, and Stitcher. And that's it. Enjoy your Thursday wherever you are. Right now in New York, it is a gloomy day, which matches Yankee fans' gloomy moods. And I will talk to you all tomorrow.